Psalm 80. Let me remind you once again that these short discourses on the Psalms, as these thoughts on other books of the Bible too, are simply that, thoughts. I do not pretend that I'm giving a detailed exegesis or a full-blown sermon. These are just thoughts. Thoughts on Psalm 80. Seems clear to me that this is about Israel. The 10 tribes, the northern tribes. Hear us, O shepherd of Israel. You who lead Joseph like a flock. The psalmist, Asaph here, is speaking to God, the shepherd of Israel, about Israel. He goes back to the history of Israel. Verse 8, you brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its boughs to the sea, its shoots as far as the river, from the Mediterranean to the Euphrates. Surely the psalmist is speaking of the days under David and then Solomon, the Exodus, the planting of Israel in the land, and the prosperity of that great nation that God had formed out of Egypt. And God is the shepherd of Israel. He is the Lord Almighty, verse 4. O Lord God Almighty, He is the mighty God. Verse 14, O God Almighty, He is the Lord. Verse 7, restore us, O God Almighty. But He's not only God Almighty, the Lord God Almighty. He is the shepherd of Israel, His chosen, His son, the branch that He had chosen, the vine that He had taken out of Egypt and planted in His land and prospered. The mighty God who sits enthroned between the cherubim. Verse 1. And the psalmist Asaph is crying out to God to lead and bless His people like a flock of sheep. But what is the burden of his prayer? Verse 2. Awaken your might, come and save us. Shine forth, he says in verse 1. Why? Verse 3, restore us, O God. And this is a chorus that he repeats. Restore us, O God, verse 3. Restore us, O God Almighty, verse 7. Look down from heaven. Return to us, O God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see, verse 14. Verse 19, restore us, O Lord God Almighty. Restore us. Return to us. In verse 18, revive us. What's he talking about? This vine that God had planted, that had prospered and grown and developed so wonderfully, expanded so mightily, was now in a desperate state. Its walls were broken down, verse 12. All that passed by pick its grapes. Boars from the forest ravage it, and the creatures of the field feed on it. What has happened? God had planted this vine, the root your right hand has planted, the son you have raised up for yourself. Verse 14 and 15. But now his walls are broken down, his grapes are just picked, the beasts and the creatures feed on it and ravage it. Men despise it. Why? Because the Lord Almighty is against Israel. As he says in verse 4, how long will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us a source of contention to our neighbors, and our enemies mock us. You brought a vine out, yes. Why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by pick its grapes and so on? Your vine is cut down, it is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. God is angry with Israel. God has taken them into captivity. God has devastated Israel. And we know why from the other books of the Bible. Asaph says, how is it you've done this? Why have you broken down its walls? Because Israel had broken down its own walls. Because Israel had accommodated itself to the nations. Israel had done despite and broken God's law, turned its back upon God, turned its back upon the covenant. Verse 18, then we will not turn away from you. Revive us and we will call on your name. The trouble was they were not calling upon the name of God, and they had turned away from the Lord and gone to idols. And God had visited them in judgment. And the psalmist cries out and he writes this prayer, this song, so that Israel might use these words, even in their captivity, restore us, revive us, refresh us, look down upon us, come back to us, make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. And he promises that we will call on your name. We will not turn back. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, verse 17. The son of man you have raised up for yourself. Is he praying for some blessing upon some human agency? Possibly. But I think this is a prophetical psalm, thinking of the Messiah. Beyond Asaph's understanding, I'm sure, full comprehension, he is here predicting the fact of the coming of the Christ, the Messiah. God will send his son. He will lay his hand on the man at his right hand, even Christ, the Son of Man that God will raise up for himself. And in the fullness of time, God did send forth his son, made under the law, to redeem them under the law, and to bring a great multitude out from the bondage of sin into the liberty of the gospel. I see the local application here very strongly for Israel, and the restoration did come to a measure. But I see the fuller revelation, the fuller fulfillment of this prophecy, this prayer, in the glorious new covenant, the glorious coming of Christ into the world. God sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. We look back now then, and see this, I'm sure, should do so, as a prediction of the glorious new covenant with the coming of the Redeemer, Christ. But I see a parallel too here, for us in our day. Of course, I'm very much in a parochial, limited corner here, a little spot, so what can I know? But where I sit, where I'm standing, I can see a great parallel here with Israel for the churches of God today. Our walls are broken down. We're dying, decaying, fading, going into captivity. I know many will disagree with me and think things are blossoming and blooming, but I do not see it. Numbers do not tell me everything by a long chalk. No, I do feel that God has a cause against us, that he has withdrawn his blessing from us, and our prayer should be, my prayer should be, I rebuke myself, restore us, O Lord. Return to us, O God Almighty. Restore us, O God Almighty. Restore us, O God. Revive us. We need this restoration and revival for our sake, for the sake of coming generations, and for the sake of the multitude of sinners, who if they're left in utter darkness and false religion, what will they hear of the gospel of Christ? Hear us, O Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth. You have the power. You have the glory. You have the grace. I see the local application, Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, yes. I see the promise of the Messiah, yes. But I see also a parallel for us in our generation. Awake your might, O God. Come and save us. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. That chorus comes over. again here, at least three times. Restore us, O God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. May the Lord look upon us then, and bless us in this contemplation of this psalm, the history of it, the warnings of it, the encouragements of it, the fact that Christ has come and established a new covenant. But the days are dark for us. May God arise and shine upon us, make his face shine upon us, that we may be saved.